can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don, some weeks ago we spoke to a man called Brooksy, David Brooks, who is sitting beside you, incidentally, from the Music Men, and we found his story very interesting, an expatriate British-English person who came out here and has taken AFL by storm by singing about all the songs, and we thought that's incongruous, if that is the right word. I know you don't know what that means. I'm not sure that I do either. And he had with him his assistant and companion. I'm not sure what sort of companion she was, but we're going to ask her in a minute.
I think.
Yes, no, female, yes, so that is correct. And we spoke to her Don. Yes, he can get out of the building without you waving at him. And we spoke to we thought that Michelle Topsu. That's how much I know about it. We thought she had a very interesting story, and the more we spoke to her, we thought, my word, Don, well, you did, you thought this would be a fascinating interview.
In fact, can I go on and add that I took a leaf out of your book, and I actually went to, what is it called, Wikipedia, one of those various websites, and this lady is multi-talented.
Right.
And she's got a story to tell.
So she you might have heard her just every now and again when we spoke to Brooksy, but she's the main source of this interview now, and her name is Michelle Topsu. Topsu. Michelle, thank you again for coming in, and it's
Thanks
very nice
for
to
having
see you.
Me. The better half of Britain, I have to
is
say.
Is it Topsu?
Top two.
How do you spell it?
Do you know what? It's braid. Like, if you go with my maiden name, it's braid. But top chew. Like chew?
Yeah, chew as in C-U is chew.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Michelle Top Chew. Where did you get Michelle Top Chew from?
That's my married name.
Top Chew?
So, yeah.
You're married to Mr. Top Chew.
I am. I am.
You still are?
Yeah.
Oh, no, pardon me. What sort of name is...
I haven't left yet.
What sort of name is Top Chew?
It's Turkish.
Mr. Top Chew. Where is... Could I ask where Mr. Top Chew is?
He's with patients at the minute, I think.
He's a doctor.
He's probably knocking one of his secretaries off. I don't know.
Well, I know a doctor. I know a doctor who... was up before the medical board for making love to one of his patients. Oh. And someone said, well, that's not unusual. He said, well, it is in this case because he's a vet. Now, anyhow, so now, Michelle, I'm not sure. I am sure why you're here. You have a fascinating story. You have become a very successful person in your own right. And I think I saw this, Don, help me out here. There's a person called... David
Guetta.
Guetta.
Yeah.
Who is has had 8,000 million downloads because he's an international DJ.
Yeah, he's
and
not
you
small.
Were. And what were you to him?
I'm jumping way ahead, but I was his showgirl. So I worked at, he used to have a club called Pink Paradise in Paris. And I was his showgirl.
Lead,
I went there.
Lead showgirl.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I started as a showgirl and ended up working my way up and ended up running
How
the
old
club.
Were you when you were the lead
my
showgirl?
My timeline is really shit. Am I allowed to swear on here? I was probably about 24, 25.
And how did you get into that? Because you've had a very... Yeah, we're going to get through. We're going to start...
Well, we
very
interesting life.
Right? Okay,
we should start at the real start.
Go ahead, Don.
This is the middle part.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Don.
Where were you born?
I was born in Edinburgh. So I was born in Scotland. beautiful, you know, the better part of Britain, we say. And yeah, I had a bit of a rough
start. Okay, now from
hang on, she said you had a bit of a rough start. Oh,
that's what I was just going to say.
In what way did you have a rough start?
So I came from, I guess my parents' marriage broke down. Late teens, I ended up on the streets. I was homeless.
Is that by choice, your choice?
No, absolutely not. It wasn't. No, I would never choose.
So your mum and dad abandoned you?
Yeah, I had not a good relationship with my dad. And things went bad.
Why didn't you have a good relationship with him?
Didn't have a good relationship with his dad, to be honest. And he was quite abusive to me.
Sexually?
No,
verbally and emotionally.
Yeah. Yep.
Good.
And that kind of went on with my mum. My brother was schizophrenic. So my mum was dealing a lot with my brother. So because I was able to cope with things, which is sad in a way, but good in a way.
You're a survivor.
I am.
Your mum and dad still with us, live?
They're with us, but I don't.
You don't speak to either of them?
My mum, I've kind of got a bit of a, we're all right, but it's definitely broken.
But they're in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And you're here.
Yeah.
And so you don't have a... you don't have a family support you?
No, never, no.
Michelle, how difficult is it living on the streets? Because this morning it is raining.
Yeah.
We've been going on for months now about our friend who lives on Beaconsfield Parade.
Yeah.
Today she was under the covers.
Yeah.
It's raining. There is a little bit of cover there.
Yeah.
Please tell me, so I can't relate and I don't know. Yeah. Please tell me what it's like, how long did you do it, and did you run into any type of trouble?
Well, yes to all of that, I guess. It was pretty horrific. I think it sounds really strange, but the good thing was that I was really young. And when you're young, your fear, you fear nothing. everything's an adventure, so I didn't know any different. I had no idea that what was happening to me was as bad as what it actually is, and it's not until later on that I kind of developed almost a PTSD to realise what had happened. I went through some horrific things.
Like what?
I met the wrong people. I was drugged and raped.
You were drugged and raped.
People don't think we're interviewing just someone off the not off the street. That just the reason we're speaking to Michelle is that she has had an extraordinary life, and I just should have read this out to start with, but she auditioned to be a cage dancer in an Edinburgh nightclub. She became a glamorous model, a page three model to the British tabloid papers. She was spotted performing in a nightclub, and she has performed on stage with Madonna, Britney Spears, Robbie Williams, Kylie, Beyonce. She recovered. She had a car accident.
Diving
accident. I thought that was driving. A diving accident. She recovered to start dancing again, and she performed. She is a star in her own right, but she's had a very torrid and interesting life.
What you forgot there is a group called Fragma, who had a number one hit in the early 2000s. So it is just an amazing story. So go on from where you... You said you were drugged and raped when you were sleeping on the streets.
Yeah. I got with the rock. There was a lot of boys around me because I was in and out of hostels. There was like homeless shelters. You know, you had the Salvation Army. I was lucky in that way that I had protection in the form of, you know, it was very few nights that I spent actually on the streets. even though I was homeless. So you kind of went from shelter to shelter. But these things had curfews. If you missed a time to get back, you were on the street. They put me up in a hotel where the hotel room actually got broken into, and the very little that I had in the room was taken from me. Somebody actually stole that. Inevitably, I met people in a similar situation, which unfortunately, I was very rare in the fact that I'd never taken drugs in my life. I had never drank alcohol. I had seen what that had done to people, and so was very careful to steer away from that. But the people that were around me were a little different. So I ended up, you hang out with these people. I've got nothing else going on. I didn't know where to go. They kind of helped me find hostels or...
So how did you need money... So how did you exist without a thing called money?
In Scotland at the time, there was, I think it was like, it wasn't, I don't know if it was called income support or something like that, but the government helped with things. So you got like a little check, but the hostels were, that's how I survived. They kind of took care of me. One of the particular hostels that I was in, I was so grateful for. They had a psychologist in there who really helped me. In fact, I kind of owe him my life, really. He was just amazing. Because I was young. I was really young. So these people were older, They were older. They were kind of like alcoholics. They had been taking drugs. They had... I was too young. I didn't have that life.
Have you been married?
Me now.
Were you married before Mr. Topsu?
No,
right.
Only one marriage.
How
so
old were you when you were raped?
Honestly?
No, you can tell us a lie if you wish.
I was not old enough.
You're underage? Is that what you mean?
I was 17.
So, and that was as a result of living on the streets?
Yeah.
So not as a result of the industry that you got into?
Yeah. Yeah,
and how did that affect you, Michelle?
It's affected my entire life. It's affected my entire life. I've got to be really careful. I think about what's going on in the world, and this is partly why I wanted to do this. Women are. I think we're in danger of becoming really masculine and not men haters, but it's kind of. It's getting about that it's men are getting a bad rap, and I have two boys myself, and so I want to be really strong in my stance on that. I still want to be really feminine. I still want to know my sexuality. I still want to know who I am and be a woman, and enjoy male company. I never wanted that to affect me in a sense where I become very masculine and aggressive and bitter, and because that was one person, a really horrible person who actually did this to me multiple times. Like, this was an abusive, horrible person.
Not an abusive family member. Not an abusive.
No, he wasn't. Mm-hmm. He was. I thought he was a friend. We ended up. He was actually a boyfriend. And
why did you not take any action against him, did you?
I was terrified. This is my action. This is the first time that I've spoken about.
Is an Edinburgh man.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's still there.
I do believe that he's in jail.
I see.
Yeah, not for what happened to me.
So this is more or less cathartic. Talking about this, this is a bit of
It's really cathartic, and also, it's important for people. They can see success. When you look at successful people, people don't understand what's behind that. It's not my drive. I feel like this kind of helped me, in a way. It helped me bring me strength. It didn't at the time. But I know, life is life.
So I can understand the answer to the next question I'm going to ask you because of fear and intimidation. Yeah. But why did you said he did this multiple times. Yeah. Why did you let him continue to do it?
I had one, this was my first experience of having a relationship. Two, my experience, I guess, you know, your first, the first male influence is, would be my father. So it wasn't uncommon for me to get smacked.
Yep.
It wasn't uncommon. So this was something very familiar to me. Very familiar. So
this was more than just rough sex. This was this was rape.
He was my teeth got knocked out. He came and smacked me over the head with a pole. He did he locked me in a room. He was a vile human. Yeah.
Well, it's a great survival and success story, because you're here, and I don't care if people think you this is not how you identify people, but you're a very smart, good-looking woman. And you said you're just in fear of the world becoming almost gender neutral,
yes.
as in the, you know, men and women are now almost classified. Some sections of the world would like that to happen. But you think there's this is not a healthy thing necessarily.
I just think we have to be careful, you know. Just I think we just have to be who we are. Like, everyone has to be who they are. I am a woman. I identify as a woman. You know, I didn't take the stance where I became more masculine, and I just think it's dangerous. We just have to be who we are. I think it's irrelevant who we're sleeping with as well. You know, it doesn't matter if you want to sleep with men or women, or it's irrelevant. We shouldn't even be speaking about it, really, because it's private. You know, who you are as a person is very separate to what you like to do in the bedroom, and I'd rather not know about that. I know I'm telling you guys what's happened, but, you know.
So you became the face of Spearmint Rhino,
yes.
which is a ostensibly a strip
it
club
is,
or a male club, isn't it?
Yeah,
And how did you, how did that?
So with regards to Spearmint Rhino, I after what happened to me, I kind of went very inwards and couldn't really talk, didn't kind of know myself, and then I kind of came out the other end and decided to not allow this to overtake anything on me. So I then started dancing. I became a cage dancer in Edinburgh, a really big cage dancer. I auditioned for shows and I got the part.
Were you a dancer or did you learn dance?
I danced all my life.
So you were a natural
dancer,
you weren't taught.
Loved it. No, I just loved it. I did no classes. I couldn't. I didn't do. Well, everybody else was enjoying their nightlife. I was, you know, I essentially found myself a home and had to start working. And I never had the fun, you know. I couldn't just go out and enjoy and get drunk, and but I found a way of doing not getting drunk. I've never drunk in my life, but I went into dancing, so I became the entertainment. I became a page three model for the British tabloids, and that was a big, this sounds really silly, and you know, a psychologist would probably say that was really obvious, but it was a big fuck you to the person who did that to me.
I'm only reading this out, but it says here, you went to Paris for 10 years and became the number one sex bomb in Paris modelling, TV, the face of Stringfellows, which is another strip club, isn't it?
Yes, Stringfellows. So Peter Stringfellow was like the British Hugh Hefner. He's dead now. He was married to one of my best friends, but yeah, he was like the British Hugh Hefner. So I became the face of his club in Paris. I opened up his club in Paris. And that was incredible, and a very. It's funny because when I hear people say, "Oh, they're going to the strippers here," it doesn't sound very exotic at all. But in Paris, it's a beautiful cabaret show. You know, you get
like
food.
The Lido.
It's very actually. I've got
Moulin
a funny
Rouge
story
and whatever else.
Moulin Rouge. So I auditioned for the Moulin Rouge, but I didn't get the job because my boobs were too big.
Your boobs were too
My
big?
My boobs were too big.
Fantastic.
So, where are you?
So you are, you have been, and I have been, I'm just saying this, you've been a vivacious, raunchy showgirl. You've been a fantastic star in what you've done, and you had then a diving accident.
Yeah, so I Paris was after. So in when I went back to Scotland in page three, I was when I was working as a dancer and a page three model. There was a band. So we used to employ lots of bands to come and perform, and there was a group that came in, Fragma versus Coco, they were called, and you know, they had lots of songs out, and they saw me dance and asked me. They needed a front person for their band, somebody who could dance and move and in kind of a face type thing. And they gave me 24 hours to decide if I wanted to move to London and go on a world tour with them.
So hang on, I'm trying to get it into some type of order.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I know.
You were kind of living on the streets, yeah. Then you started dancing yeah. in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this where Fragma yes. saw you
yes.
when you were dancing yeah. in
yep.
and then they gave you 24 hours. So this other thing with regard to Stringfellows and
yeah,
all of
that
did
after.
That come
yeah,
after,
that after. Yep.
Fragma?
Yep, absolutely.
So okay, so we go from Scotland, Edinburgh
yep,
with
London.
Fragma, you got 24 hours to make your mind up.
Yep.
How long were you in Fragma? Were you part of it? Because they had a number one
yeah,
hit in the
yeah.
early 2000s.
Yes.
And how long did you actually stay and what happened?
Yep, so I was there. I joined them as their main dancer. They wanted, because they had, so there had been a big thing with Fragma where they had split up. There were two DJs and a vocalist, but they split up. So that was a kind of separate thing. But I joined as a dancer, so they were just about to go on a big world tour, and they needed, you know, back in the day we didn't have social media, so they used to do lots of clubs. We did MTV, Music Awards, Smash Hits, Top of the Pops. It was all these kind of shows. There was no reality shows where you, like The Voice or X Factor or things like that. But yeah, they gave me 24 hours and I absolutely jumped on it. That's the one thing about, I think, being homeless, I don't fear change and I just take opportunities. Whenever they come, I don't want to say no to anything. I think life is an experience and it was an incredible experience. It was fabulous. So, yeah, they got to number one for, I think it was 7 weeks. It was like the longest running.
Is that the song...
I Need a Miracle.
What's Tokus?
Tokus Miracle. Tokus. Like, yeah. So it means I Need a Miracle, but it's in Italian. Yeah, Tokus Miracle.
That was the number one song?
Yeah, number one for
so
like 7 weeks.
So how long were you in Fragma for?
So I was in there for about 2 years, all in all. We did a big world tour.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
So why did you leave, or what happened with Fragma?
There was multiple reasons why I left. I had been given 24 hours to... decide. I was a dancer. That's primarily what I did. I started singing when I was in the band and quite quickly realized that I loved that. I'm just creative, I think. and I really enjoyed that. I started getting offered opportunities while I was in the band to do other things, radio
shows. Away from the band.
Yeah, away. But I wanted to kind of, what do you call it, like, I didn't want to jump and...
You wanted to remain loyal to the band.
Yeah, I wanted to be loyal.
Yes.
But I also knew that my time was...
Coming.
You know, you're there's a lot of... Not a lot of egos, but there's stuff going on. I don't want to...
You could see the dynamics within the band and it just wasn't conducive to the way you thought things should be.
Yeah, and you know, you're traveling with these people. I was with these people 24/7. Back in the day, we were in America in a limo, like 24/7. You know, you go from the airport to the limo to perform and then back to the hotel with these people all the time. It starts to... And bearing in mind where I had came from... It was just different. It felt, I didn't feel like I belonged. These were different people, you know. So I wanted to leave. There was things happening and I took a break for a little bit.
So through the journey, were you exploited Did you have the hard word put on you? Was the Harvey Weinstein?
Oh, I know, I know.
The Harvey Weinstein effect of people
not,
are working
I'm not
for
a
stars and being
a millionaire actor, so obviously no, I didn't get the hard word. No,
You weren't asked. No. We'll give you a promotion, but you'll have to give us some favors.
Look, maybe a little bit. I definitely knew there was it was called the casting couch, right?
Yep,
people kind of knew.
Yep.
But you either do or you don't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You either do or you don't. And I don't think that after you've been successful and got all your money and done everything that I would have went back and said this happened to me. No.
So then you had a diving accident and doctors told you that you were paralyzed and doctors said that you should never dance again.
Yeah.
And that went over like a wrought iron hang glider back you got on the horse.
Yeah, that was
so how did that happen?
Yeah, that was really hard. So
How old were you?
I took a break. God. Ages. I'm so shit at timelines. I don't know.
No, but in the middle of your successful...
This was nearing the end. Oh, thankfully.
Yes.
Nearing the end of Fragma.
The end of Fragma. Yeah, I had taken a break. I'd kind of came out. There was things that were happening in there physically. So physically, because of the abuse that I had taken, the dancing, my neck was very weak. I didn't realise how... You know, well, you don't. You're young. You know, I was a bit stupid. I threw my head around a lot. And I went to Spain and I was just blown away by how beautiful this was. And I was on a cliff edge and I could see that the water was clear. It was crystal clear. There was no rocks. It was stunning. Yeah, I can see your face.
Yeah,
and
no.
I did. I just went in.
Hang on, so you just went in?
I dove in, yeah.
But hang on. You said it's clear and everything, so
yeah,
it was a bit shallower, probably.
Oh, shallow was it?
No, I didn't know. It was really shallow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Did you dive or jump?
Yeah, I dived.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know.
It will dive.
So I dove in, but thankful. I mean, I can. So I dove in, and right away, my head hit the sand, and I heard this loud, really loud crack.
Oh.
Really loud. And I skiffed my face along the bottom of the ocean, and I shit you not, the first thing when I came up was I just wanted to make sure that my bikini top was on, because I was like, I had just scraped my bikini top off, but I knew that something was wrong. I knew I had done something, you know, a bit naughty, and something wasn't right, and that noise wasn't normal. But thankfully, you know, I could feel my fingers, I could swim. I was fine. And honestly, I think it was more a combination of shock and ego that made me just get out the water and continue. So I was fine for the next few days. Then about maybe a week and a half later, I woke up one morning and I just had the most excruciating pain down my neck, and I couldn't feel my fingers. And I just thought, well, this isn't great. And I went, got x-rays done. Yeah.
Now, this is an executive decision I'm making. I wonder if you would mind swapping and going, sitting off of that microphone.
Absolutely.
I've been watching
this here,
Don, and this is what happened with a previous guest, Mr. Madden, who... It was very interesting, but I think just sit down there and we'll swap microphones, because just sit down there and see if this comes up any better, please, because then I want to just speak into that for a minute. And so then you emigrated from Edinburgh, or had we finished on what you were talking about? This is better microphone, incidentally. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brooksy. Brooksy's sitting here, and we'll get on to Brooksy in a minute. So to speak. So, had you finished that? No, so you recovered. How long did it take you to recover from sort of being...
I still have problems.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yep.
I still have problems with it. Sometimes I get out of bed and, you know, lose my...
Yes. Brooksy's just pointed to the fact... I did say that doctors said she should quit dancing. I did say that, Brooksy.
Yeah.
saying you still have problems. So then you emigrated. Have we finished?
Go ahead. Well, so how long did this take to recover?
I would say fully in bed. I used to sleep sitting up. Probably a year. A year before, it wasn't painful, and I could do things. I mean, it's nothing like paralysis, but it was horrific. And they told me, not to dance again. That they were pretty sure that I shouldn't be dancing again.
Get onto prescription drugs for pain.
I'm addicted to not being addicted to things.
Yep.
I can't go anywhere near drugs mm-hmm. or alcohol. I couldn't do it. It was really painful, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't take drugs. I was scared. I saw what it did to other people, and I just thought that wasn't the way to go. I was very careful. I still am very careful about what I do physically. Things can just put me out very quickly.
Yep.
So from here, did you become a page 3 model in London? Or did you go dancing or did you recover sufficiently to go dancing?
Yeah, I recovered. And so through the page 3, I was kind of well known for doing page 3. I got offered opportunities to model. So I was modeling for magazines, and then a friend, offered me a position at Spearmint Rhino, and I actually became the face of Spearmint Rhino. So I did all their billboards and did shows for them. Then
I'm looking at some of the billboards here on yes.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, so a long time ago. It was a page 3 model a long time ago.
Yeah.
Did that include being photographed scantily dressed or in the nude?
Well, I was never nude. Although I did do a Playboy shoot, but it wasn't.
You did
it was
a Playboy shoot with Hef,
very
did you?
Soft. It was very soft. It wasn't. It wasn't nude. It was like it was very, very.
It was nude,
80s,
but you couldn't
actually.
See anything
yes,
really.
Yeah. But the page 3. Do you know page 3 over here?
My word, we do. Yep.
Yeah.
Do you?
Page 3, Donna's where they put good-looking people, predominantly women, with almost nothing on or scantily clad in sexually provocative poses.
Men.
That's what page 3 is, Don.
Yeah,
surely you've heard
topless,
of page 3.
Topless, Don.
Yeah.
Just boobies.
Hmm.
They're very...
So that's part
not
of
guns.
The
mo-
so
it's not guns, is it? It's just boobs. Like, people are quite offended by boobs, but it's not a gun. It's a boob.
No.
Yeah.
You're correct. Yeah. So you don't know what a page 3 girl is, Don,
have
please.
Have you never seen a page 3?
I'm not
three?
Into
well,
that.
Well, welcome to Michelle.
Not
you're sitting
what?
Next to one.
Page 3.
What do you mean you're not? What is there not to be into?
I couldn't be bothered looking at it.
What do you mean? But you read the front news, say Harold Wilson has been sacked as the Labour leader, and you turn over and there's a woman with no clothes on or with a breast showing, and you think, shit, this is a nice welcome relief from the politics.
Just a bit of softness.
Yes,
it's a fucking
Don, please. Yeah, it's just a bit of light and shade, as we say
exactly.
in the industry. Most people just go straight to page 3 and overlook the fact that Harold Wilson got the arse. What the hell's wrong with you, man? So you have we finished with so page 3?
No, I'm just trying to get into this. We're now doing modelling,
yes.
and through your modelling, you are a page 3.
Yeah.
Then you get picked up as
Spearmint
by Spearmint Rhino,
String
and to
Fellows.
Be the face of Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah. So
or the body.
Page 3 was quite a big deal in Britain, wasn't it?
We don't
thing.
Know you.
Yeah. No, yeah. So it was you were in the newspapers and that was a thing. It was like a thing. I don't know what they call them here. I don't know what the thing is here.
They called them page 3 here.
Yeah.
Are you smart at business? Did you capitalise? Did you capitalise on this you didn't.
I'm shit at business. That's my worst. I'm just creative. I am the worst at business. That's why, I've got Bootsy as my manager. How good a business can it be? You know what? Actually, okay, I take that back. I got myself in a situation. So after page 3, Spearmint Rhino Stringfellows.
Beautiful.
I did save my money and I tried to set up my own agency.
Modelling agency?
Modelling agency, kind of entertainment agency. And I again found the wrong people.
So when did you realise this was happening? That you maybe what you were destitute at this stage, or is this at the end?
I had, luckily, you know, I say I'm not good with business, but I'm good with money. So I had my house. I had, you know, I could pay my bills, all of that kind of stuff. But I realised quite.
I'm really sorry about this. I'm Don. I'm sorry to enter. This is just. That microphone now is just not registering at all. No, it's not you. It's not you. I don't know what we'll do about this. Or maybe you could come and sit here and do it on this. It's all right.
Yeah, stay there.
Should we do it together?
Yes. I'm sorry. Okay. So keep going.
Where was I? I can't even remember.
Well, you said you had you owned your own house and you had some money.
Yes. I guess with the business, knowing it was actually a friend that pointed it out to me that this wasn't right what was happening. So he kind of flagged it, and we went to the building where this agent was supposed to be, and they weren't there anymore. And I found out later on that they had scammed hundreds of thousands of pounds off other people. So I got let off quite quickly. So that was I kind of got burnt in business then and decided, right, okay, business isn't for me. Let's just continue doing what I'm doing. And then I went on to open up Peter Stringfellow's Club in Paris. Became the face of Stringfellows. Stringfellows in Paris, moved there. Which was amazing. Absolutely loved it. And then ended up working for David Guetta.
Were you dancing at this stage, or had you come back to dancing?
Yeah, I had went back to dancing. Not as, how can I put it? It wasn't as heavy. I was certainly very much more cautious about the moves that I was making. You know, just light. Soft moves rather than kind of dance, you know, hip hop kind of. Yep.
So Don, then you've immigrated, Don. You're going to have to share that. I have no idea what's going on with the microphone.
So I'm going to put all this together because there's got to be some relationship in here somewhere. Would I be right in saying that? Because you said you've got two boys.
Yes.
Do those two boys come?
Mr. Taku.
With Miss Topsu.
Topsu, sorry.
Or was it Michelle Baird?
Braid.
What?
Braid.
Braid. Did Michelle Braid have a child or did she have two children?
We're really getting into this.
Well.
Yeah. I was working for David Guetta, met somebody, ended up in a long relationship with another abusive person.
You've got a problem here.
I have a
you?
Problem. I know, I'm not very good at judging. I'm very open.
No, what you're doing is you're marrying your father.
I know.
And you
Don, you've
on,
got us. You've got
you
to
just
thank
keep
you.
On repeating the pattern, which yeah. we all do.
Yes.
We all are attracted to our, well, I believe, mother and father. That's the way we've been brought up.
Yeah, and I think I'm very attracted to strong men, very, you know.
Well, your search
confident.
Is over. No, it's a joke. You've had a child to an abusive person.
Yeah.
And do you have a child with Mr.
Yes, I
top
do.
Top suit. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. So, could we ask Michelle now? So she emigrated to Australia in 2010. Nine, it says here, but you would know better than the
I
blurb.
Hope it's, I hope it's
2010, nine, 10, and you joined the very, very highly sought after travelling variety show called The Music Men.
Yes,
and you became the first female.
I did. I came when I first came here.
Dave Brooks here, who's sitting beside us.
I did. I went to a show to watch Hughesy perform. And
Dave?
And Brooksy was there, and I do photography as well. And Brooksy had asked me to photograph them. I think he was trying to slide into my DMs personally, but
he was what?
Trying to slide into my DMs. Do you know that?
Is this an English term or Scottish term?
Yeah,
DMs. DMs?
Yeah, DMs.
You better.
Not DMs like as in the shoes.
DMs. I'm trying to think of what DMs is a rhyming
is
slang
Scottish?
For.
Is Scottish?
I heard that Scottish accent.
Dance. DMs. It'll be some Indian knickers, I reckon that's what that means.
I know.
What's DMs mean?
Well, I don't. Well, we're just going to have a look.
DMs means deep in
a
minute.
Deep in a minute.
Yeah, but I think that's a romantic. There's another one. It's like in your personal inbox, you know what I mean? Like on Insta, or you're not on Insta. No social media.
Yeah. No idea what that means.
To the studio to take photographs. We're doing a Christmas song, an old Slade song. So here it is, Merry Christmas. Remember that?
Yep.
So here it is, Merry Christmas. Probably better than that. And Michelle started taking photographs in the studio, and two of the guys hadn't turned up. So we said, knew nothing about Michelle. I said, oh, come and sing with us. Next minute, she's in the behind the microphone, and I'm going, oh my goodness, who is this?
Yeah.
And that was it.
I was in a bikini.
She had a career which she'd not been singing for 15 years. It was renovated. And we did the songs with us, and then she went in the studio recording six songs now. It's back again.
If you're listening to this and you're thinking you haven't heard a hell of a lot of what Brooksy just said, then it's because he's on the microphone. I don't think it's working, but they can hear you. They did hear you, mate, but it was faintish. So apologise for that. It's not David. It's not Brooksy's fault. It's our fault. But everything's working on that microphone. But we heard all that. So you drive cars? Are you a car racer?
Yeah, I used to like racing cars. Yeah,
you used to race. It's a no end to this. Where does this end and start, Don? Please, you race cars.
I did. I used to love it. Before I got pregnant, I was contemplating doing the Clio Cup and the Clio Cup in France. Yeah.
Tell us about the Clio Cup. What is that?
Oh, it's racing, but it's quite intense racing, and they race Clios. But
Clio,
you know the car, the Clio.
Yeah, that's a Renault,
like,
is it?
Yeah, Renault.
Yeah, I know.
Is it a 24-hour race? Is it a rally race?
Oh no, the
Le Mans.
Le Mans. So the Le Mans story is my ex, he was a racing car driver as well.
I was going to say, pretty expensive to get into all this
stuff.
Yeah,
so he was in the GT Cup. He won all of that, yeah.
In a Porsche?
Yeah.
So the Clio, I've just got onto it too, Don. Clio is a brand of Renault, and just like the Minis race, and just like the Porsches have a whole brand dedicated to those cars, yes.
Yeah.
And so you were good at that. I've got a car out here. You might
really
be interested in having a drive of Michelle.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm worried about how you'll
take Don for
that,
a drive.
I can't wait.
Can't wait for what?
To drive Sam's car. He's promised me a drive. Mm. He's promised me I can take out his
Lamborghini. She's going to take you for a ride in it, Don.
No, she's not.
Oh.
Yes, she is.
You don't trust me, Don. I'm a good driver.
Very good driver, Don. Better than you. Anyhow, now, so you're here, and you're here for good, and you have Brooksy as your manager.
Yes, I actually came
sort
here.
I
came here, and what did I do over here? I was a mute extra on Neighbours for about 3 years. A mute extra. So I was an extra on Neighbours.
Just standing in the background or in the crowd or in the kitchen.
Paul Robinson's secretary. I was his receptionist on Neighbours for about 3 years.
Is that what what Nicola Charles was on? Do you know Nicola?
I don't know anyone.
Oh, Nicola Charles, she was...
She was a Page 3 model.
Oh, really?
She was Page 3 in London as well.
Yeah, and she was on Neighbours. Wasn't she on
Everybody
Neighbours?
Everybody gets on Neighbours, right?
Or Home and Away. Was she Home and Away? Yeah. Or Home and Away?
Oh.
No, no. We should know. We've interviewed her twice as well. Well, now, look, Don, is there anything else you'd like to ask this superstar of stage, screen?
Well, we've really touched on this, but I took your lead. I don't like looking at Wikipedia or the websites, but I did go
anything
in.
Anything else?
And also, this lady is a very good artist and photographer. Now, you're doing, and I saw when I went in, that you've covered 6 songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what do you plan to do with regard to singing? You just cannot cover songs.
No,
I know there's only been a few people who've had hits covering songs, so you've got to come up with some original.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm doing that now. So I'm working on the original. I hadn't planned to bring out any of these songs. I had planned to do an album and then release the album, but obviously COVID, you know, put that on its arse, and the entertainment industry got smacked pretty hard, which I'm used to. So I just decided to just release, you know, just put them out. The ones that they were actually more for fun. They were for fun and just entertainment, really. But yeah, I'm definitely recording an.
And it's as if there's not enough time in the day. You're writing a book.
I am writing.
Are you writing about? What?
I'm writing 2 books. So
two
I'm writing.
Books. It's a brilliant moonlit night tonight, and I'm writing two. I'm writing 2 books. Yeah, go
I'm
on.
Writing 2 books. I'm writing my biography, and also I write erotic novels, so yeah.
Novels?
Yeah.
Steamy.
Yes.
Steamy
yes,
stuff.
Yes, really steamy.
Gee, give Don the first 2 copies, will you?
For women,
are a bit steamy as well.
Yeah, they
when
are.
I went in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got a bit of a bend between.
Where'd you go, Don?
I went into the, what do you call it, website.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
yeah, sorry.
Website, my website.
Well, I saw the photographs and they were a little different. Yes, but they're tasteful.
Oh, thank you.
So you're writing steamy novels, are you?
Yeah, I want to. We need more love in the world. We need more love.
More
less
people to
guns.
Make love too.
Yes.
Yeah.
More love, more light, more. I love.
And when are these novels out?
Soon, I hope. the sooner I get writing, the better. But yeah, they'll be out soon. I'm enjoying. I really enjoy the process. You know, the artistic process, whatever it is, whether it's music, singing, not so much dancing, but writing.
I thought you gave Kate Bush a bit of a run for her money on that cover of what.
Did you see that? Oh my goodness!
Well, I went in. I
love that. Love Kate Bush.
You gave her a bit of a run for her money.
Oh,
I thought.
Thank you.
You're in white, but she was in red.
Yes.
And she was in a field, whereas you were before a...
I was at Half Moon Bay.
Now I've just been handed an image of, it says, make art, not war. Is that a picture of... that? Is that Michelle bent there in that position? Looks like a... and it says, just if I could read this out, it says... Michelle, artist, all day, every day, and then it's got in inverted commas... Fuck fear.
Yes.
Fuck fear. I don't mean to say fuck fear off. Don't be fearful.
Exactly.
I presume that's what it means.
Yeah.
And there's Michelle just bent over in that extraordinarily nice pose. Looks like a dolphin.
It looks like a dolphin. It does.
And it says fuck fear, Don. So
fuck
don't be
fear.
Fearful. Just
yeah,
fuck it off.
Absolutely.
If I could, sorry to
absolutely.
Use the invective. Well, is there anything else that you haven't done besides breaking your neck, driving cars, being Spearmint Rhino, Mr. Stringfellows, having a top hit, being in Page 3, mother of two, married to Mr. Topsu, driver? You've got tired even just thinking about it, Don. You haven't done that many things in your dreams, let alone.
Oh,
once again, we're going to finish this off, and then we're going to to put a little video of Michelle, and Brooksy, you're going to stand out of this time because it's nothing to do with you. And but we'll just mention that you're here on the side. So Michelle, thank you very much for coming
in.
A fascinating story, Don, isn't it? Speaking of the microphone.
Unbelievable.
It is. So we're going to wind that up now, and I'm sorry about the microphones. That's the next thing that we'll have to try and amend. So all the best, Michelle.
Thank you.